touch me. There's no one else to blame.
To the Punch Bowl, folks. Happy Friday. This is your regular Friday host, William Ripillum, and I'm happy to be here with you guys right now. We can touch base. And still in the process of kicking off the new year. We're still within the first half of the new year where everybody's getting used to the fact that it's here. And still thinking about our goals for the year and what we want to accomplish. You know, for me, I want to accomplish I have some musical aspirations. So I've been practicing a lot. I've been working on my own songs. I've been working on a lot of cover tunes. And I think it's really important to have that outlet. I'd like to start gigging around. Last night I went out to my local bar, and there was a band there that was just on a whole nother level than me, for sure. And so I was really impressed with this band. It was a couple guys playing guitar, and they were fantastic guitar players, great vocalists, and it all just very, very nicely blended. I never heard any mistakes in the music. They played very quickly. They were very dexterous, a whole nother level. So it's nice to be able to go out and see that sometimes and to see, you know, music is something that I think it transcends all this crap that we're constantly dealing with Jews, Jewish establishment. And, you know, unfortunately, the Jews are the delegates of Satan, and that's just the way it is. That's not a radical statement, it's just a true statement. I guess it would be considered radical by demons. Jews. And tonight, you know, I was listening to a video that Merv Ailey sent me. It was Greg Felton, and I haven't listened to Greg Felton before, but I'm very fond of this guy. I just listening to him for talk about Israel, and he's filling in a lot of gaps with the history of the last 40 years, especially. I have his book, The Host and the Parasite. I'm going to read that book. I'm inspired to read that book. I have a lot of books that I've inspired to read, so it's hard to pick one and stick with it. I tend to jump around different stuff, and I honestly haven't been reading as much these days, not books like I used to do. You know, other things have come up. I've got, you know, things, changes in my life that have brought about, you know, other focuses. And you guys know I kind of fly by the seat of my pants, and that's my style. But it also made me think about when I went out and I saw these guys at a whole nother level, and I gave them the props that they had. I talked to them during their break, and how long you've been playing? Like, you know, what are you doing now? One of the guys plays like literally every night. He does it for a living. So that's inspiring. Pretty cool. You're a musician and you can do it for a living. Because it's a cutthroat business. Not one I'd ever want to get into in terms of like becoming big or something. You know? So guys, folks, please go to Republic. Before I forget to mention this, please go to republicbroadcasting.org. If you have the means to do so, please donate to the station. help keep it going. And it obviously station desperately needs the donations of our donors. And if we're going to go up against this corporate juggernaut and all that, yada, yada. Same spiel you've heard over and over. But please, folks, yes, please consider making a recurring monthly donation if you haven't. Even if it's just a little bit, whatever you can afford. We appreciate you. And I don't know what, you know, if I didn't have this, just be able to do this, I would be pretty, I don't know, there's some, definitely something missing in my life, like big time. So if you want to call in, guys, I want to get your opinion on some stuff. So what's, the number's 512-248-8252, or you can call 800-343-9443. It's 800-313-9443. I knew I didn't get that right, but I think I'll never get it wrong again now. 800-313-9443. Or if you're within the continental United States, 512-248-8252 and save the station a dime. All right. Well, I was talking about music and, you know, and then I went home and I practiced. And I actually have some pretty decent songs, but and you figure out how to market yourself. Figure out your niche, your shtick, what your weaknesses and strengths are, and you could still become successful. You know, music is a very interesting thing. You know, there's a lot of very simple songs that are actually very, very, very powerful, very catchy, very successful. In fact, I think most of the simpler stuff tends to be, you know, pretty more successful than the more complicated. That's my favorite Yes song that I was just playing there, by the way. Changes. It's always been my favorite Yes song. I remember it from being a kid. It reminds me, it brings up a picture in my head of when my friend and I were like 10 years old and we're on his back porch, you know, just doing a sleepover, like on our sleeping bags and looking up at the stars. And I remember it. It's just every time I hear that song, because it was like the same time, you know, just that memory pops into my head. I don't know if that happens for you guys too. Memories are interesting, like fragments. But the way the song sounds, it reminds me, it makes a sound, it sounds like stars in the sky, what it sounds like to me. That synthesizer, that like, I think Yes is a Canadian band, if I'm not mistaken. But the Canadian bands would have that, like, kind of like, that kind of sound, a lot of them. Kind of, you know, that cathedral sort of sound. So I tend to like Bryan Adams as a Canadian. Wells, the Canadian. There's a band from the 80s called Biggest Bad Attitude was their song. Honeymoon Suite, right? Like they had a great album in like 84. They were a hair band. Anyway, all right. Well, so what is this? How does this relate? It doesn't, I guess, but I just wanted to get into some of that for a minute. But again, got folks, call in. So what I want to hear your opinion about is this sewer rat situation. Jeremy and I discussed it last night, and it's all very creepy and very bizarre, and it all just seems very strange. Like, what's going on with this? What's going on with this? Who's done a deep dive into this? You know, is this thing just meant to confuse us, to throw us off? Why is this all of a sudden out there? Why is the city trying to backfill the holes? I guess I'm curious about that. I'd like to hear some. And I want to hear from you about this if you've done some research on it and you feel like you have a pretty good grasp on it. Now, I haven't researched it anymore today since last night, since we talked about it. So, maybe I don't deserve to talk about it, but I've got some stories I want to cover. So I've come across some stories in the mainstream news, like just popping up in the browser, how they force you, you know, you open a browser and there's all those news stories that you don't want to look at. Well, some of them are actually tolerable to look at, and it's always kind of good to get a do a little pulse on, you know, where's the Overton window now? So, which one do I want to start with here? I don't know if I want to get into the Trump one. There's a Trump. It's like this, like, rolling little Rolodex kind of thing that MSN does. So I go bad, and it just has, like, one sentence highlight, and then it just goes from one to one, and the common theme is Trump. So there's 17 of them. I'm not probably going to go through all of them. But, the first one is Trump's comments on civil war draws response from Republicans. I'll just see what I can get through before the break. I can get through all of them right before the break. I set my clock 5 minutes fast, so sometimes I thought there were 4 minutes. Trump's comments on civil war draws response from Republicans. Former President Donald Trump makes a significant return to Iowa ahead of 2024 primary race, delivering a flurry of comments ranging from the Civil War to recent school shootings and even magnets. In his weekend campaign swing, Trump stirred controversy with his unfiltered rhetoric. Civil War controversy, okay, so while speaking in Newton, Iowa, Trump described the Civil War as horrible but fascinating and suggested that it could have been negotiated. Interesting. Okay, so, yeah, the controversial statement sparks reactions and questions about the former president's historical perspectives. Ah, so the powers that be are questioning his, you can already see that they're trying to question his, maybe they think he has dementia now or something. They want to question his, his judgment. Oh, you're not fit to be president. You're deviating from our narrative. And what he's saying is he's actually starting to make a little crack in the whole narrative there by asking this question. So however you might feel about Trump, I mean, Trump might be the Antichrist for all I know. And he's on the stage, so he's allowed to, despite all the lawfare, he's still campaigning. So what is it actually that they're doing? They may be setting him up to actually be the Antichrist. You know, you never know. But I don't know. But in any case, that's from a bird's eye view. Coming down to this little piece of minutia. Speaking in Newton, Iowa, yeah, horrible but fascinating. It suggested that it could have been negotiated. Well, that's true. It didn't have to go. Actually, there was a little more he said. Let's see here. Continue on civil war theme. Trump speculates if Abraham Lincoln had negotiated to end the war, he might not have achieved the same fame. Republican critics question the logic behind Trump's comments, leading to debates about historical interpretation. Yeah, I'd like to get Mike Gatti's opinion about this statement. My guess is that, I agree. If I agree with this statement, I think he would too. Had negotiated the end of the war, he might not have achieved. That's true. They needed that war. Lincoln is their, like, golden boy. Lincoln is definitely the Jews' golden boy because he was really at heart a Marxist. And the Republican Party has its foundations in Marxism, surprisingly, right? I didn't know this until it was pointed out to me by Mr. Gatti. And also corroborated much by Thomas DiLorenzo in his book, Real Lincoln. And he has a second book, got the name, a little bit shorter, similar book on Lincoln. Oh, all right. So I don't know how many of these I'm going to go through. All right, now here's some stupid crap. Magnets and misinformation. Okay, so I don't care about this. But he, during a rally in Mason City, Trump veers into an unusual topic by discussing magnetic elevators and falsely claiming that magnets don't work underwater. This departure from political discourse raises questions about the former president's grasp of scientific facts. Well, who's departing from political discourse because CARES said this? And if you want to write about it and try to use it as like a reason to discredit the guy, I mean, you can't get much more discredited than this, you know, walking geriatric disaster that we have meandering about in the White House. So, I don't care what Trump thinks about magnets. And, you know, I mean, it's not, even if what he's saying, there's probably something, they're going to, you know, take whatever and take it out of context, right? So, anyway, it's not really worth mentioning, but they wanted to bring this up for, I don't know, it seems pretty stupid. He's pretty petty. I got a couple callers. I got Joe in Florida, Reb in Colorado. So hang on, guys. Right with you. Get through this. Probably catch you after the break. We got a few minutes. Wow, that was a quick 5 minutes that went by. Criticizing January. Okay, so here we go. Here's an important thing. Criticizing January 6th prosecutions, which is just Bolshevism and lawfare and absolute tyranny now being turned against the United States. That's why I like Greg Felton. I'm going to play a little clip of what he said, because just listening to him just really puts the, it's just, he's just speaking facts, and it puts the fire in my belly, and we need that. We need that fire in our belly to be able to call the Jews out for what they are, you know, demons. And, you know, I say that because it's true. See, if you're Jewish and you identify as Jewish, and you are proud of that, well, you're either a fool or a demon, or you're just too scared, you know, because, you know, obviously your tribe will kill you if you, you know, they'll try to kill you, cancel you like they do everyone else if you turn against them. You know, I mean, and it's not even about turning against them, it's turning for the truth, for the truth. Jews are inherently liars and murderers. So in participating as in the Jewish, you know, and supporting whatever is going on in the Jews around the world is supporting genocide, you know, especially if you're supporting what's happening in Gaza right now. This illegal occupation that's been in place for a long, long time. These chicken swingers that have illegally occupied this area and have been able to just get away with murder. Literally murder and torture for just too long. So Greg Felton was talking about this in the 80s, what was happening. And these are a lot of gaps in my knowledge, and I really want to understand more about the history of Israel just from the last 75 years. All right, we're up against the break. Be right back. I wanna get down to the water and get undressed. I can stand it. I can't wait to see them walls fall down.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. Like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United
with
States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show.
Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Okay, back. So, criticizing January 6th prosecutions. Okay, on the third anniversary of the January 6th Capitol riot, Trump labels those prosecuted as hostages and calls on President Joe Biden to release them. Narrative becomes a focal point. In closing his message, Lowines, whatever, I don't know what that means, emphasizing his legal troubles. Well, I'm glad he said that. That's good that he said that, but I don't have much hope for any political solution, so I'm not going to spend too much time here on Trump. All right. Yeah, it's 5 of 17. I'm definitely stopping there. So I wanted to play this clip by, and I'm going to take your calls, guys. Here, while Mike, while you're getting the clip ready of Greg Felton, let me take Joe's call. Joe, hey, what's up, buddy? Welcome.
Hey, William. Thanks for taking my call. You asked about, for a deep dive, anybody that, about these Chabad tunnel.
Sewer rats,
rats and tunnels, I don't know, it seems evocative of certain people. It kind of makes sense, right? These people are building tunnels. It seems like true to their nature. Here's what I learned, right? And I'll just give you a little bit of the background. You can stop me if I get too deep into it. But since you asked for a deep dive, it was very confusing when I saw it. And then all the multiple stories, it just raised a red flag, okay? I mean, they had preposterous stories. One of the first things they said was the COVID thing, right? You understood that. They were saying, oh, well, you know, these tunnels were built, or this tunnel was built during the COVID crisis because they were being prevented from getting to the synagogue. That's a total BS story. And it's actually been retracted by even the Chabad organization, because apparently this tunnel, and I'll get back to that in a minute, one tunnel, which people may be surprised about, was actually built 6 months ago, or maybe not more than a year. So the idea that they were doing it for COVID is ridiculous. That's a lie. That was the first lie. Then there's another preposterous lie about, oh, they're trying to expand the synagogue. Oh, they want to expand it so they can have whatever. That's another total fraud. And the main reason why that's a fraud is that distinction which I just made. So here's the thing. This is, what is it? Is it a network of tunnels? Is it tunnels? No. One tunnel, 50 foot long, going from one building, which is two storefronts over from the headquarters, the synagogue, 770 Eastern Parkway. I mean, I know a little bit about New York and this history here. There's something called a mikvah, M-I-K-V-A-H, which all I know is it's supposed to be a Jewish ritual bathhouse. Actually, Layla, the great Layla, a Palestinian woman who's on RBN a lot, trying to speak up for the against the genocidal Jews who are killing Palestinians with such disgusting speed. She referred to this mikvah, and it's basically a ritual, I don't know, they've got a satanic religion, and a part of their issues is you have to, like, cleanse after some kind of ritual uncleanness, both women and men. So that's what this is where the tunnel went from. It went from this ritual bathhouse, which was like two doors down. The reason I mention that is because it's the one tunnel. And then the other thing is, like, maybe you're thinking it's tunnels, like tunnels you can drive cars around. No, no, no. This is like a burrowed through hole, okay? Really like a rat, right? But the thing is, the best way I understand it is it's actually an escape tunnel. And so that gets to the big point. I believe, now there's a history there in that organization, and it goes back many years of sexual abuse allegations against young boys. It's a sickening thing to even talk about, but I think it's important to get to the bottom of it because there's so much BS that's been pushed out by that community and by mainstream media, Jew-controlled mainstream media, right? Claiming there's multiple tunnels. No, there's one tunnel. It went from this bathhouse. And there's been a history going back to the 90s of abuse allegations, sexual abuse of young boys in that community.
Joe, stay over, okay? We got the break. Just cool. If you don't mind staying over, we'll continue. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They they can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Thank you, Massad Mike, for your contribution to the music selection. Good song. All right, so, Joe, remember where you left off?
Yeah.
Got to bookmark it.
That's okay. I've got an amazing memory. allegations of sexual abuse. By the way, going back many years of the Chabad Lubavitch, there's a New York Times story in 2012, ultra-Orthodox shunned their own for reporting child sex abuse. And that's a New York Times story as a reference. But even before that, the allegations even pre-existing long before that. The thing I was going to say before that was, why is it that we have to have so many stories covering this up? That was the first thing I said, a red flag. If this was some kind of a tunnel that was built for construction purpose or whatever, you wouldn't have so much frantic, fictitious stories, which these Jews are always making up to cover up their reality of what they do. So, yeah, so basically, there have been these allegations, and there's a tunnel, Right, one tunnel, 50 foot long, that was discovered. Now, how did it come to light? Okay, so the this tunnel was discovered about a month ago, I guess, by the leadership of the Chabad Lubavitch people, you know, the rabbis, the leaders. And just this week, what instigated the big, you know, internet frenzy, where everyone was aware of it, was the NYPD was called to break up a fight between two different factions of people, members of this sect, this Chabad Lubavitch sect, who were fighting. One group was attempting to cement up this one tunnel. Okay, the older group, the rabbis, the older members, and the other group was a group of mainly teenage boys and men in their 20s who were trying to protect the tunnel or not have it be blocked up. So already we see this picture where it's just like, wait a minute. You know, it sets this idea that, well, wait a minute, if this is an escape tunnel, that it would make sense that the predators, these old Jewish sex pervert molesters who are in that community, rabbis and other dirty old Jews, that they would be attempting to prevent this tunnel from existing, where the young boys, who are also members of the group, were used as an escape, because that mikveh, that ritual sex abuse bathhouse, is where the boys are molested. This is what's coming out. It's shocking and disgusting. It's really repulsive to even have to explain it. But I heard this and I said, you know, there's something more to it. So I did do the deep dive. The other thing I would say is, if you look at the story, there's also more about this whole thing. Like, people don't know this, but that organization, we know it's the world headquarters, and we know how devious and evil they are all over the world. They have, like, their own little fiefdom there in Brooklyn on Eastern Parkway, 770 Eastern Parkway. And it takes up a huge space. They have their synagogue, but it's like many, many blocks of individual buildings that they also own. And there's thousands of them that live there. And the other thing is that they're a political force in Brooklyn, in New York City. They're such a powerful force, these Chabad Lubavitch, is that they can sway elections. There was a district attorney in Brooklyn 30 years ago, 25 years ago, Charles Hines, who helped cover up these allegations of sexual molestation of young people, of young boys. And when he left, it sort of came out. But the point is that they're politicians, going back to Giuliani and others, who will actively cultivate the, you know, they try and get the support of the rabbis who lead that group, because if the rabbi says, vote for this guy, all of a sudden you got 15,000 votes, which is not a small, especially if it's like a city council seat or something. So they're a powerful force even in that neighborhood. And that goes to the point of how they can cover up their abuse, because this is coming to the fore.
I agree with you all on all this stuff, and thanks for the call, and I appreciate all the insights. Yeah, I wanted to keep it kind of focused just specifically on the tunnels and sort of the motivation for it. No, you explained it well. I appreciate all the information.
Stop defaming me.
I got to move on to the next. I got a couple more callers.
Okay, I appreciate it. I just gave it a little bit of deep dive. But you're right. The thing I'll say as a summary is, it's not even that important to focus on all the specifics about it as much as we can. But it happens during the week where the war criminal Netanyahu is being exposed every day. The war criminal, the other Jewish war criminal, Zelensky, is being now shown to have basically murdered Gonzalo Lira, by the way, the American, a Chilean-American, right? We see that he's dead now. He's died. Rest in peace. It's just big, part of the bigger picture. People are waking up to these people, and they're not getting away with it. So I'm very positive, because even these lies about what that tunnel was, they didn't last too long. They cannot get away with what they're getting away with, the Jews. So that's a positive thing. I think we're in a different
with the anti-Semitic remarks.
It's definitely going to, I agree with you, Joe. It's definitely going to, it's all going to crack at some point. It can't go on forever. Well, thanks for the call, Great. Joe.
Thanks. Have a good night.
You too. See ya. All right. We got Reb, and then we got Chance. So, Reb, what's going on, bud? Reb in Colorado. Reb? Nah. All right. Chance, West Virginia. Chance, yes. How are you?
Yes, Mr. William.
Yes, sir.
Mr. William.
Yes, sir. Chance.
All right, just making sure you can hear me.
Yeah.
And how many playpens do you keep in your secret tunnels? You know, all that Trumpy bear talk really broils my gefilte fishes. Father of the vaccine, Mr. Red Flag gun law, and lest we forget, wait for it now, the proud recipient of the prestigious
Mike,
Tree of Life Award. Oy vey! You know, but on the lighter side, you were mentioned, I tuned in when you were mentioned Canadian bands. You remember Rush, right?
Yeah.
And one of my faves, I don't know if you remember these guys from Canada, April of Wine?
No.
Oh, yeah.
The name sounds familiar, but.
Yeah, check them out.
April Wine?
April Wine, yeah. Good band. Rock band. Well, that's about it now, Mr. William. Thanks for taking the call now. Oh. You there? Hello?
No problem.
Can you hear me now?
You know, William?
I'm getting an echo. All right, so I'm just going straight through my computer. I took my headphone jack out, and sorry about the poor quality. I'll try to fix it in a minute here, see if I can't plug back in and get reception on here. Maybe I hit a button or something on this. That's probably what happened. Hang on one second. Chance, are you still there?
Yes, I am. It looks like the ADL put the hex on you there for a moment.
Stop defaming me.
Yeah. They do that, you know. They do that.
Yep. Well, okay. Well, thank you for taking my call now, William. Good night.
Okay. Good night, Chance. Thanks for the call. All right. So let me try this headphone jack again. Give me just be with Bree. Hold on. All right. You guys hear me? Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, I just unplugged the USB back in again, and we're good to go. Yeah, so let me play this clip by Greg Felton. This is what I really want to get through tonight. Mike, you got that one queued up by chance? Yeah, all right. So Greg Felton, everybody.
The United States has been humiliated, abused, disgraced internationally and domestically as it moves to support Israel in whatever it does. And it is impossible to think that this is being done willingly, that the United States is the same country that existed in the 1960s and 70s. The only possible thing that we can conclude is that the United States has been under Israeli occupation to all intents and purposes. You think that's hilarious? Well, okay.
Okay, wait, one second, let me just, so we hear the cognitive dissonance in the audience. No, no, no. No, no, the United States is not occupied, under occupation of Israel. That's exactly what's happened. And it was just, I couldn't imagine being him and having to deal with this. But you got to deal with the, Got to be able to, and he did go on and explain, which was good. You know, he didn't get more heckling from the audience, but it's just funny. I mean, why don't you save your question? Why do you got to, like, do all that stuff? Go on. Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, I'll be finished in a minute. The only way to understand the last 8 years is that it's a culmination of a number of things that happened in the United States that I articulate in my book here and shows how the United States slowly and quite clearly allowed itself to be occupied and humiliated by a lobby that had at its primary interest the interests of another government. Because a lot of people will argue that, well, the United States is the strongest country in the world. Nobody could push the United States around. Well, if you look at the people who run the United States, the military-industrial complex is a very good example. The interplay between them and the Israel lobby is very, very close. And it makes no sense for the United States to murder Arabs en masse. It makes no sense for the United States to repudiate its own principles and declare war on its own citizens. The only way we can make sense of this is that the people in Washington are serving another government, that we have essentially a treasonous government. And in fact, if you know how both Bush stole the last two elections, he's not legitimately elected. We have to look at the sort of gangsterism that we most commonly associate with the mafia or some other sort of organized crime. There is no other way to explain the United States from a rational point of view. It cannot be done. There is no rational explanation for the United States behavior. We must assume an irrational frame of reference. We must assume that the United States we see and the United States that really exists are quite two separate things. And if we do that, and we look at the events of September the 11th and how that happened, and the people who were...
I just wanted to give a little taste of Greg Felton there. The clip sent to me by Murr. It's on a website called Educate Yourself. Educate-yourself. .org or com, I don't remember. But anyway, yeah. Okay. What else do I want to get at? Greg Felton. Looks like Reb called back, so let me get through. I'm going to jump to him here in a minute here. Hold on. Not yet. Biden. Okay. Alrighty. So Biden contradicts himself immediately and looks like he might be about to grope again. There's a little video of Biden that's on Twitter. You can go ahead and play it. You're just going to hear the audio. But essentially what's going on here is Biden's bent over. There's a chair. There's a young girl sitting in the chair, a young blonde girl. And hold on a second. It looks like he's about to grope, but I think he's just like leaning over in pain or something. And he's asked a question, and he's asked if he, you know, supports some guy, and then he says yes. And then they ask if he's a, you know, well, let me just play it because he just completely contradicted himself. Anyway, go ahead.
Do you have a confidence in Secretary Austin?
I do.
I'm sorry. Was it a lapse in judgment for him not to tell you earlier?
Yes.
Do you have a confidence in Secretary Austin? Was it a lapse in judgment for him not to tell you earlier?
Yes.
Do you have a confidence in Secretary Austin?
I do.
I'm sorry. Was it a lapse in judgment for him not to tell you earlier?
Yes.
Oh, what was the last sentence that she said, that she asked him, and he said yes. No, don't play it all again, please. I can't even understand it. Just read what it says. Don't play it again.
Was it a lapse in judgment by Secretary Austin to not inform the administration that he was out and in the hospital? And he said, yes, it was. Biden said, yes, it was. In between him groping and saying, I'm sorry, to some poor schoolgirl. Wow.
I didn't see him actually grope her, but he's leaning over in his chair. It looked like he was maybe having some kind of digestive issues or something. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, well, yeah, he's on her chair, and she snaps around like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It's weird.
She's very cordial and friendly, but she's still pointing like, whoa, you're getting a little close there, buddy. Yeah. So there you go. First she asked him, do you have confidence in Lloyd Austin? And then she asked him a question to indicate he wouldn't have confidence. And he said, yes. So he clearly didn't actually understand what was being said. He was thinking about something else and whatever. You know what? I don't want to spend too much time on this. It's just typical Biden stuff over here. So I don't usually go on to that stuff. There's too many more important things to talk about. But I grabbed it. There we go. So we got pretty much got through everything. Oh, well, this is interesting. So hundreds of far-right activists give a Nazi salute at a rally in chilling scenes, MSN. So let's grab that link. Where is that link? How come I don't have a link? Interesting. Link. Hold on. The link must be up above. Mike, do you have the link by chance? I don't know.
I did see that. I saw the Italian Fascist Brotherhood or something, the black shirts. I said, but I didn't have any audio with that anyway. So,
yeah.
But well, yeah, that was around.
Right. That's interesting. That's over in Italy, I guess. So you know, and then. The content of the article was kind of interesting. And so, let's see where I grab that. Oh, I know where it is. Hold on one second, folks. I'm going to just have a few minutes left anyway. But, at this point, I think it's okay, you know, just while I'm looking for that, I think it's okay for us to, here we go, to say that, you know, it's, if you're Jewish and you're continuing to be Jewish, you're participating in, you know, a demonically possessed race. Yeah, here we go. So you're gonna have this is gonna happen, you know. But you continue in your Jewishness. And you continue to do what you're doing, you know, like what Greg Felton was talking about. You continue to support, even if you're not directly involved in it, you're supporting. And I'm not, and being Jewish isn't just limited to Jews. There's also Christian Zionists, and anyone who supports them is, in my book, Jewish. And so you just need to stop, because Jewishness is toxic to humanity, and it's genocidal and murderous and lying and cheating. And I mean, aren't you getting tired of all the effort it takes to continue with all your lies? I mean, is it worth it anymore? Maybe, is it really going to take a whole bunch of pressure for you to actually become human and stop doing what you're doing? And join humanity and the human race and not be this genocidal, you know, psychopaths? Why does it have to take all this pressure to get you to do it? Why can't you just do it on your own accord? There's only one explanation for that. Is that you don't have it in you to do it. You don't have it in you to do it. You need some kind of self-interest because you're an inherently narcissistic psychopath. And that's unfortunately how you've been raised. How you've been brought up. So I have no doubt that I have Ashkenazi Jew in my bloodline somewhere. I've looked down my history and my genealogy down past several generations back, and there were names like Ephraim and Hosiah and stuff like that. So that tells me that these were Ashkenazi Jews, possibly, or they had some. Do I care? No. Does it mean I'm Jewish? No. It doesn't. Because you can change. You can change. Now, I didn't have to change anything, obviously, and this is distant in my bloodline, and I'm guessing that that's the case. But there's no excuse for it anymore. There's no excuse for it anymore. It needs to end. Jewishness needs to go. Needs to go. So stop doing it. And get on the right side of humanity and join with the rest of humanity in being a human being and actually caring about humanity instead of using everybody for your own interests, whether you're on the left or the right. Doesn't matter. Participating in that dialectic. Take that to the bank. Take that to your Jewish bank and put that in your Jewish pipe and smoke it. All right? Well, so, and God bless everybody. God bless everybody. So, 1 minute to music, 10 minutes to Wapner, 10 minutes to Wapner. Okay, so the far right, I wanted to read the far right activist. Let me try this if I can get that in before it ends. I lost it. I just clicked away from it. Frustrate myself sometimes. No, I got to get the article. I had pulled it up. Okay, I know where it's at now. Okay, there it is. Okay, so if you thought that this was archival footage from Germany, this is just, okay, this is the Jewish perspective, okay? This is them. During the Second World War, then you would be wrong. This is present day. During Giorgio Meloni's premiership, hundreds of people were filmed giving fascist salute during a rally in Rome without any police intervention. A video circulating on social media showed the crowd raising their arms, a Nazi-style salute, while chanting in front of the former headquarters of the now-defunct neo-fascist Italian Social Movement Party. The event on Sunday commemorated the killing of three neo-fascist teenagers in the... Mike, let me finish, please. Teenagers in the Italian capital in 1978. Under Italy's post-war legislation, use of fascist symbolism, including the straight-arm salute, is prohibited. Oh, you can't use a straight-arm salute. Oh, that's very Jewish. It'll make it illegal to use a straight-arm salute because you don't like it because you're Jewish and you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of anything that criticizes you or gets close to calling out your crimes. All right, folks, have a fantastic weekend. Keep naming the Jews and keep calling them out and keep on holding them accountable. And we'll talk to you later.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.